This is Man Child Movie Night.
Cold open. So we were headed back from the restaurant.
We had to kick it in the
gear. The whole straight pipes here and says, I gotta go.
We were coming back from, I forgot who was playing, but we was coming back over to see Cody Cannon and we was kind of moving. Because Kelly said the last day, because the state, they have two stages. One's at the very front and one's the very back. And you don't think they're that far apart. Mm-hmm. But Kelly said the last day we walked 5 miles going back and forth because each hour you had to go back and forth.
Yeah.
So you brought your chairs with you. And we bought VIP passes so you had a bench to sit on
right.
for the main things, like an amphitheater.
Yeah.
It's got it up front and the lawn behind it.
Okay.
So we had our chairs, and you can put them out at the – they have a place called the barn, and they have a place called the Blue Moon stage. Blue Moon. And then the main stage was a big sky stage. So we, or something moon, I think it was, yeah, Blue Moon, or it might have been New Moon. Neon Moon, that's what it was, Neon Moon.
Neon Moon.
So we put our chairs out there, and each night, it seemed like we was getting further and further back with our chairs because the people standing in front was closer. So we was coming back to our chairs, and nobody messed anything, just left everything there.
Yeah.
And we were coming back, and... I guess they were doing a sound check or something, and Cody Cannon was playing on his harmonica. And then he was started playing the guitar. The song they do called Boys from Oklahoma. Mm. It was a Cross Canadian Ragweed song. Boys from Oklahoma rode joints all wrong. They're way too skinny and too damn long.
Mm-hmm.
And we come walking up, and he started doing it, and he said, "What is open with this one?" And went right into it.
Timestamp. Yeah. You started after, I guess. That's that. We put the stuff like that behind the paywall.
There you go.
When we started Patreon.
You want the adult words? You gonna pay the adult money?
They don't give it for free.
So this is Man Child Movie Night.
Adult jokes.
Adult jokes on a children's show.
It's getting kind of late. We're going after dark. This is Man Child After Dark.
Man Child Midnight Movie.
This is Man Child for the grown ups.
But man, he looks good on this TV. That looks great. We're doing it. I'm Matt with Dusty and Sean.
Yep.
No Country for Old Men. And we talked about doing this one for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Cormac McCarthy.
I've finished the book. I read the book this summer. And the way Cormac McCarthy writes, if you're familiar with his writing, if you've ever read any of his stuff, he has a way of writing that's all his own. He doesn't use proper grammar. He doesn't use proper punctuation. Nothing like that. So it can be... He writes it as these characters would say it. As in, you know, somebody from Texas, how they would talk. As like, what do they call it? Local color or vernacular? How Mark Twain would have, you know, written things.
Mm-hmm.
But then the no punctuation kind of, when you're used to having punctuation, it messes with you a little bit. But I really liked it. That was my first book of his to read. But
yeah, period can make all the difference.
Yeah. Or a comma.
If it's late, it's serious.
Oh, boy.
It'd be a problem if it ain't there.
Right. Like,
sorry,
to derail you there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm getting caught up in the movie here. So if you want to watch along with us, you can start it at the beginning of this. We pretty much started it when we started talking.
And now, wouldn't that hurt him when he did that? When he jumped backwards?
It
hit the ground?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm sure.
I mean, it's kind of his.
And by the way, this is Ben's haircut when he grew it out.
Yeah.
That's a picture of Javier Bardem with that hair. And I said, this is what you look like right now. When he grew it out, really, it was like fluffy like he is when he washed it. I'm like, you got to do something about this.
See, this, like, we'll just go ahead and talk about it before we get to any of, like, the finer details. Look at his hands.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's what I thought you were talking about, but.
Like, this movie, first time I watched it.
Which hadn't been that long ago, right?
No.
A couple years?
Last year.
Last year.
Or, no, 2 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
Unsettling.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's probably the best word. Because I watched it. Because, I mean, it's the Coen brothers. So it's Joel and Ethan Coen. And it's, as it moves along, you kind of see their touches that they do. There are certain things that people kind of say kind of reminds them of Fargo and whatever else. But
it's another good movie.
But it's dark.
Yeah.
And this dude is a psycho.
I'll put it like Woody Harrelson. He's peculiar.
There's a story about it, and maybe I could find it here in a few minutes. Like, the haircut deal, I think he went and asked somebody to give him, I can't remember what the deal was, I'll look it up shortly.
I'd like a bob, please.
He looks like a psycho.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he won, if I'm not mistaken, he won the Academy Award.
Best psycho?
Best supporting actor. But this, if you're not familiar, No Country for Old Men, like I said, book written by Cormac McCarthy in 2005.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't Thanos just snap his finger in the...
And the
just
fall,
the
helmet
just fall.
See,
so I listened to a podcast on this today. It was they made mention of that. He talks about it later on, but as of right now in this opening part of this movie, you don't know anything about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing other than that he's there shooting at some antelope. Well, as it goes along, you see, because ain't nothing being said right here.
Mm-mm.
A lot of silence. Well, he's looking around, okay, he finds, but he picks the cartridge up, puts it in his pocket. He goes out there, he's tracking.
He's using his boot for a prop.
Right. He's going around, he's tracking things, and spoiler alert, he comes upon the grisly scene there with all the drug deal gone bad. And where they talked about, you know, a thing that was most people would have probably freaked out when they found that. He just kind of goes around and assesses the situation. Well, you find out later he's a Vietnam vet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he has training. Well, you look back on it, hindsight 2020, you're reading this, oh, okay, he's using soldier training.
Yep.
But, man... And it never said, well, it doesn't actually say when it takes place.
1980.
It was 1980. Because the quarter.
Yeah, do the math.
Yeah, you do the math.
Yeah.
This quarter was 1958, and he said it's been in circulation for 22 years.
Yeah.
Because he said he was in Nam in 66. And was that Nam time? 66.
Yeah, Vietnam was, what, 64 to 75?
Mm-hmm. I think he said he did a tour in 66 and 68. On this.
68 was about the height of it.
Yeah.
Because you had all the protest songs around 1969 and 1970.
Right.
But you start this movie. You start it with Tommy Lee Jones narrating.
Yeah, oh, and it's a good
And you're just showing, it's showing scenes of West Texas.
Yeah.
I wish I had that gun.
And that Uzi.
And
now he picks up the one I would want.
And that AK-47.
Sorry, we're getting...
But then you see him, a cop arresting a guy, and then the first within the first 5 minutes of the movie, he's murdered him.
Look at them holes in the side of that truck.
Mm-hmm.
That had to be, what, a slug? Out of a shotgun? I mean, what makes that hole?
Big hole.
Was it a 50 cal?
AK makes a pretty big hole in
it. That ain't going to make that big a hole going in.
And see, all the tires are shot. All the trucks and stuff.
See, look at that hole inside that door right there.
Yeah.
And that guy, he just crumbled up under the seat. I'd like to have some of the trucks, too.
I know. Oh, yeah. That one right there that he opened the door on. Like... See how he's going around, just calm, all these dead bodies, and he's just calm. Like, you can tell this is a guy who's seen some stuff.
He ain't getting no log one. He does what I do, well, other than he grabs a gun away from him, but he picks up that MP5. That's what I'd be taking, too. Those are fun.
Got a big old clip in his pocket.
Yep.
So, but the book was written in 2005, published out in 2005. This movie came out in 2007. So literally, when the book was published, somebody already went ahead and bought the rights to it. And I heard that pretty quickly, Tommy Lee Jones, Josh Brolin, and Javier Bardem were attached to it. And there it is.
Cocaina.
They got a truckload of Mexican Bam Bam in the bag. Colombian Bam. Sugar. What was it? Colombian Bam Bam.
Colombian
Booger Sugar.
Yeah.
And a lot of it.
And a lot of it.
Whole bedful.
Oh, yeah. So, what kind of sticks out to you about it?
The movie?
Yeah.
Well, it's... There's a lot of... Like you're talking... There's a lot of silence in this movie.
There's no music.
Right, right.
There's no music.
Yeah. Obviously, the big thing that sticks out when you've watched it is two of the main characters never even meet during the whole thing.
That's right.
Tommy Lee and...
Anton Chigurh.
And, no, him. Llewellyn.
I thought they met. No, they didn't.
No.
They don't.
Well, he don't meet the other guy either.
He does not. He doesn't meet Llewellyn. Now, he calls and talks to his wife.
Yeah.
He never
None of the three main characters meet each other.
During the whole
He doesn't meet Tommy Lee. No, they don't. No, they,
none,
not at all.
None of them do.
Yeah.
So he finds Llewellyn when he's dead after it's happened. And, you know, Anton's already escaped at that time.
Tommy Lee goes back
home. There's so many, you wouldn't say main characters, but there's so many prominent actors in this movie, you know.
Well, there's... three main characters essentially.
Right. It's almost like a not a Pulp Fiction, but there's three different stories going on kind of at one time. You get the same revolving around the same storyline, but it's all their takes of it, right?
And I see it don't show, but he sat there for a long time waiting for that guy to move.
Yeah. Yep.
And never did. So then he decides to go.
Yep.
Yeah. Long enough that he sat down.
And he knew when he walked up, he's like, no, you went this way to cover your tracks. He's like, yeah, but...
And I'm gonna find if I'm shot and I'm doing this, I'm going to find shade.
Yep, and that's where he finds him, up under a shade tree.
Has he got a rock in his hand? Or a rock nearby?
I don't know.
They had one of them, what you call Mexican standoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Mexican standoff. Now, why he... Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a little while. He don't look through the money. That bothered me. I don't
look through all it's of like it. He's still. Like, it's almost like he. It's like he knows exactly what's happened, but at the same time, it's like he's curious. I mean, obviously he's curious. Otherwise, he wouldn't be doing it. But it's like most people would have just kind of been like, oh, "Okay, this is, you know, bad deal here. I'm getting out of here." And knowing that it was, you know, dealt with cartels or whatever.
Right.
That they wouldn't have even, you know, wanted to even fool with it. So, this movie won 4 Oscars. It won Best Picture, 2007. It won Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role, Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
Best Achievement in Directing, the Coen Brothers, and Best Writing for Adapted Screenplay, by Joel and Ethan Coen.
Okay.
It was a nominee for cinematography, editing, sound mixing, and sound editing. I didn't realize that it won Best Picture. But, yeah, it makes sense. But also this year, the same year, shot in the same town was There Will Be Blood.
This is Martha.
Yeah.
That's what I was...
West Texas.
That song I just played.
Yeah.
The Marfa Lights. Okay. You ever heard of Marfa Lights? There's something about the atmosphere there.
Mm-hmm.
That gives off the same kind of thing you see with the Northern Lights.
Okay.
It's a light show you see in the air. Something about the atmosphere. I don't...
Then hides his MP5
under the house.
Under the trailer.
Now, do you know who she is?
She's on Boardwalk Empire.
I know her.
She's made an appearance on this podcast. She's the voice of Merida.
Oh, Brady.
She's Scottish.
Yeah, she's Scottish.
Okay.
Some of the best lines in the movie happen right here.
Yeah.
She says, "Where'd you get that gun from the getting place?" "What's that? What's in that bag? Or in that satchel?" He said, "Bunch of money." He said, "No,
not really."
Day. Yeah.
Now, what do you went through the money just to make sure?
That's what I said just a minute ago. That's a bother part to me.
Two things that bothers me.
Okay, let's hear it.
I know what one of them.
He carries the water back to the guy.
Yeah, idiot.
Why go back? Well, you got the money. If you
he had conviction.
He could. That's the thing. He could get a clean getaway. Nobody saw him.
Yeah, nobody.
He didn't have enough conviction not to take the money.
Yeah.
That guy was going to be dead. He wasn't going to be alive when he got back here.
Yeah.
The guy blew his brains out.
Yeah.
But so he goes back. If he don't go back and he looks for the money, he's good. They're never going to catch him.
Yeah. This is another one of my favorite lines when he leaves. He said, "If I don't come back, tell my mama I love her." And she says,
"Your mama's dead."
"Your mama's dead." He goes, "Well, I'll tell her myself again."
That's a good line.
That's a good line.
That's in the book.
Is it?
Yeah. The book was pretty much spot on.
Yeah.
Now, he ends up picking up a girl, like a teenager, and she runs with him for a little while. That's one of the biggest differences. But, and then he's with a girl. Well, you see it a little bit in the movie there, right before he gets killed, because she's there at the pool or whatever, and he's talking. I can't remember if that's the same one, but it's just as vague like that in the book as it is on the movie.
Okay.
Like, you don't see him get shot. You don't happen on script. Tommy Lee Jones' character
walks up on
him. Comes up. And there's a little bit of difference. So mostly there's stuff that was cut out.
So the Mexicans
was
are the ones that got the money when they shot and killed him.
The cartel.
Yeah.
Because the cartel folks are looking. So it doesn't ever say explicitly that I know of.
How?
But there was a drug deal going down.
Right.
One had the money and the drugs. I'm pretty sure Stephen Root's character was the one that was buying the drugs. Well, he doesn't get his stuff. He's the one that hires Sugar to go get the money.
Okay.
Well, he hired not only him. He hired a whole bunch of people to go get the
money. Multiple dipped, because that's why Javier comes and kills him.
That's
why Anton Sugar comes and kills him, because he says you picked the right tool for the job. And
that window wasn't blown out.
No, they shot him.
Somebody come up,
the people that, those guys, they came up and killed him and then waited because they knew the money was missing and this guy was going to come back. Now, the money wasn't at this scene, but they waited. They knew somebody was coming back. That guy could have told them. He could have told them, a man came, You know, maybe came in a witness.
I thought the guy shot himself.
I think it's.
No, he took his gun.
Yeah, he took his.
He took the one gun he had.
Yeah, there were other guns on the ground too. Yeah. But I'm gonna say they killed him. They came and found the event that happened and killed the one remaining guy and then waited.
Yeah.
The money's missing and the drugs are. I'm assuming they've got the drugs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the drugs are missing.
They took the drugs, right? And then, but they're trying to get that money back and find out who took it.
Well, it went south because somebody tried to make off with the money, I suppose, without giving up the drugs, or vice versa.
Right.
Stephen Root hires Woody Harrelson to go hunt it down, too.
Yeah.
So, really, that guy's the problem.
Steven?
Yeah, because he hired Sugar.
Yeah.
If he hadn't hired him, then...
He brought him into it.
Yeah. That's where they send the dogs after a minute.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That pit swims down the river after him. Ooh, he just about gets him, too. Because that 1911 ain't like a Glock. He clears that thing out, you know, before he puts that round in that dog. But it just about gets him. It ain't giving up. It's swimming like faster than he is.
Yeah. Well, that's how he even found out that something was going on.
Yeah.
The wounded dog.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
When he was tracking the pronghorn.
Mm-hmm. That pit that was limping.
Man, don't you know that'd be some scary business right there.
Yeah, you're just a Joe that was out hunting, and you stumbled up on an event that transpired about like that toilet runner.
We see how calm and cool he is right here, with that dog running after him.
Yep. He's done been peppered in the back shoulder. Mm-hmm.
Another big thing, like people had nitpicks, is there wasn't that kind of a suppressor silencer for a shotgun or anything like that back in 1980.
Right.
Do we know that for sure?
Pretty much. I think the type that he had.
I think
anyway.
They had integrally suppressed shotguns in the 80s.
I think it's more the type that he was using.
Well, yeah.
But and then there's like his little weapon that he uses to punch out the locks and all of that. And this whole scene right here, bump the volume up.
Oh, I love this scene.
Yeah, this scene is, yeah.
Yeah.
And he acts this well as the owner. You can listen along with us as well.
Oh, yeah. We're just...
Is something wrong?
The old road dragger back there.
Is that what you're asking me? Is there something wrong with anything?
If there would be anything else.
You already asked me that.
Well, I need to see my clothes again.
See my clothes?
Yes, sir. What time do you close? Now.
We're closing now.
Generally around dark, at dark.
Around dark, at dark.
You don't know what you're talking about, do you?
Sir?
I said, you don't know what you're talking about. What time do you go to bed,
sir?
You're a bit deaf, aren't you? I said, what time do you go to bed?
Around 9. Somewhere around 9:30. I'd say around 9:30.
I could come back then.
Why would you be coming back? We will close.
Get your slipper.
Well, I got to close now.
You live in that house on the back?
Yes, I do.
You lived here all your life?
This is my wife's father's place, originally.
You married into it.
You married into it.
We lived in Temple, Texas for many years. Raised a family in Temple. We came out here about 4 years ago.
You married into it.
It's like he was shocked.
Yeah. Some way to put it.
That's the way it is.
He may be a little on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
He secured a whole bag of peanuts.
What's the most you ever lost in a coin toss? Sir, the most you ever lost.
He just keeps repeating.
And never loses his cool.
I couldn't say. Call it. Call it. For what? Just call it.
I bet you could make him lose his mind if you didn't
call it. Oh, right here. You need to call it.
That's pretty much what he's getting at.
Well, that did happen.
I didn't put nothing up. Yes, you did.
Later on. At the very end.
Your whole life. You just didn't know it. You know what date is on this coin? No. 1958. It's been traveling 22 years to get here.
That's a cool
one. It's here. And it's either heads or tails.
You get a little.
You have to cycle it.
A little pad.
I need to know what I stand to win. Everything.
In the background.
How's that? You stand to win everything. Call it. All right. Heads then. Well done. Don't put it in your pocket, sir. Don't put it in your pocket. It's your lucky quarter. Where do you want me to put it? Anywhere not in your pocket. But it'll get mixed in with the others and become just a coin.
Which it is.
I don't think he knows what was behind that coin flip.
No. He does, I think, now. He knew that something was, I mean, obviously. That's what was crazy. Like, and he just like, oh, okay, you win. Yeah. He walks out.
Like Two-Face from Batman.
Yeah.
You know, flip a coin.
Psycho.
Yeah.
That was the part like that was just unsettling to me. Like, this dude, he's just going around murdering people.
He drove up in a car to get some gas, and he flipped a coin for your life.
And he was about to kill you.
Yep.
If it would have been tails, the dude would have died.
It's like he's from Memphis.
Oh, boy.
Well, they'll just walk up to you and people just kill you for nothing. They'll walk up to your car window and kill you.
Yep.
You know, I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. It's just because you're there. You're the person that they needed to kill to join whatever gang or whatever they need to do, you know?
I mean, well, yeah, it's kind of what the poor, unfortunate soul.
Yeah.
Like, you just... Like, I mean, you've heard a lot of that, you know, at times, people just wrong place, wrong time.
Yes.
I mean, and that's the sad part of situations. I mean, does Tommy Lee Jones say something like that?
Near the end. You're talking about when he's in the house with the older man, and he's talking about somebody dying, and you know, when he's talking...
What's what they're talking about, like, wrong place, like...
Was that his brother?
No, that was his,
He's related to him.
It's his... It says in the book, it's his uncle or his wife's uncle or something like that.
I didn't think it was his dad, but...
No. It's not his dad. It's like his uncle. It's his wife's uncle or something.
And I like that guy, too.
Barry Corbin.
Yeah. And let me tell you something.
It makes me think of Wilford Brimley a little bit.
Yeah, it does. He got diabetes, though.
Yeah, he... His acting was really good in that scene.
Yeah.
But get on them sour patches.
What are you doing?
Wow. Oh my God.
Do what?
I was going to say, he lit those just for you.
I lit her laurel candle.
Oh. That's the one y'all got from the witch cult.
Yeah.
Huh? We can't be smoking those. We gotta hang on those for later.
Let's see.
Next summer.
He just killed those two guys from
there. He's killed four people already.
Oh, yeah.
Four.
He's just a Michael Myers rate right now. Just about.
Look, Michael Myers hadn't even killed that many people. Remember, we took a tally of that.
We did.
Speaking of, we're knocking on the door of Halloween, or October, anyway. I think we need to let Dusty pick us a horror movie to watch.
I don't know, but that new Exorcist movie, it looks disturbing.
That kind of stuff don't really bother me, though.
That stuff does bother me. That stuff's real.
Yeah. I just can't. I don't like a lot of gore. Just but I'm good with. I mean, it can be a classic. I thought. I mean, would you be down for that?
Sure.
When it, you know, because I mean, most of them we've probably never seen. I mean, unless it's an older one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine with it. Yeah. Let's open up the catalog. What was that we watched with the man that came out in the mask?
Come out in the mask.
Yeah, I think it was like
every horror movie ever.
I think it was the first. This, no, the
movie. We're talking about Insidious.
Yeah, the movie.
The red face.
Yeah, the movie was going along real good, and it took a twist at the end and got different.
I bet that was Insidious.
It was Insidious.
Insidious.
Yeah, woman, you see the old woman face. In all them pictures.
Yeah.
And then he goes into the son gets pulled into the thing. He goes to the red face demon deal.
Yeah.
The creepiest part of that is when she's outside. I'm getting. Was doing Tiny Tim song.
Oh yeah.
Through the rocks, and then there's nobody in the house, and she sees the little ghost boy running around. Out of the main characters here, or that we have, who do you think wins the movie? To you?
Ooh. By wins the movie, do they need to live?
No, I mean like, roundabout saying, when you think about this movie, what character is it that pops into your head?
Llewellyn, for me.
The boy that got the $100 for getting up his shirt.
Okay.
All right. He was winning. No,
not the $500 for the jacket.
And the beer.
And yeah, well, yeah. Just give him the beer. Just give him the beer. I'm always. But I'd say Llewellyn, because here's the thing with Tommy Lee Jones' character. He's an interesting character. How many times during this whole thing, he goes out here this first time, he surveys the scene, and what happened? He never goes back. The DEA agents and all these people are trying to get him to come back to the scene. Look, he's like, no, I've seen it, ain't nothing changed. They're still dead.
I think about Chigurh.
Yeah.
But I like how he said he run his hand through that bed of that pickup. It's that Mexican brown dope.
Yeah.
That hair on.
One of the best parts that he does through the whole movie is that monologue at the first of it when he says, you know, he's talking about his daddy being a sheriff. He said, me and Deb were a sheriff at the same time. I think he really liked that. He said, I know I sure did, essentially something like that.
We talking about sheriff. Some sheriff didn't carry a gun.
Yeah.
Didn't have to.
I don't think that would work, but.
No.
Yeah. Who's to say? And he comes in there in a little bit and the milk's still out. What a shame. He goes over there, he's like, we got to put a notice out. What did some man left the milk out?
We'll see. I mean, he's a tracker. Like this, I mean, finds out where he lives, pulls the plate off the truck to see
pulls the bin plate. Yep.
Gets it. Finds out who it's registered to. Finds where he lives because of that. Gets the address. Goes to his house.
And now,
Llewellyn
knew that was going to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He said, "We got to get out of here because they're going
to really find the truck at 9 o'clock." Yeah. And at 9:30, somebody's going to be at our house looking for the owner of that truck.
And well, he's looking at, he finds a telephone bill.
Yeah.
How outdated that is.
Yeah.
Did you see what the bill was?
Southwest
bill. My bill.
And look, he's just like, huh, it's a nice couch. Just kind of sits down with the glass
milk. Yeah.
And you wonder what it's like. Going through his mind. He's looking at him in a reflection of himself in the old Hitachi TV.
He's looking at his reflection in the TV going, man, I should have turned that on before I sat
down. I don't want to get up. No, I think he was thinking, man, I got a bad haircut. That's why he's so mad all the time. Somebody gave him a bad haircut. Look,
and then this woman right here just giving him the full sass.
She's scared. I can't say.
I can't say.
Does he work?
not at liberty to give that out.
He's a persistent.
Did you not hear me? She's talking to him like he was talking to the guy at the store before.
It would have been funny if she'd have been, call it.
Oh, that's the alternate telling of this story. What's the most you've ever lost on a coin toss?
What?
What?
Call it. I believe we are in an impasse. You know what? I'm just going to go back.
Yeah. And he let her live. He didn't. He just left.
Carla Jean. Lou Ellen.
But yeah, I think they have some of the best banter in the movie, him and her.
Well, a lot of that's in the book. That's what's crazy. A lot of it's in the book.
Really?
It's just, and there's no punctuation like I was talking about. It's like he'll say, this person will say it, and it'll be the next line. Next line. I should have brought the book with me so you can see it.
Some of these people need to learn when to tell people what you're doing and when not to.
Mm-hmm.
Like the mother. Mm-hmm. We're going to El Paso. You know? I don't know why we're going to El Paso. Ain't nothing for me down there. You know how many people I know in El Paso? Zero.
When did you get your gun out?
Well, my buddy. He told Woody say hi and something. Right there before that, when he asked him, should I get my gun out or whatever, and he said hi and something, and he holds it up right over here before he goes in. Hi and ready or something like that.
Old wood panel trailer.
Gun rack on the wall. And at this point, he hadn't figured out the weapon yet, I don't think. Because they had the guy that he killed in the car that didn't have an exit wound in his brain.
Yeah.
He said, no bullet fragments. Well, what'd he do? Get in there with a knife after and dig it out and dig them out. He's like, well, he said there's no bullet fragments. Of course, he killed him with that cattle. What did they call it? It's a tool for killing cats or sheep or whatever.
He's going to sit down and pour a glass of milk.
Looking for a man who had recently drunk milk.
It's the electric, the thing at the...
Well, it's kind of like the kid on It, the newer It.
Yeah.
You seen those?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's scared of them.
Uh-huh.
Kind of the same thing. Different, little different tool. There goes a ranchero.
Someplace cheap.
They all these southern women got sass, don't they? That goes with the applicable rate.
Whatever you want, honey.
Yeah.
Paid by the hour joints. No, that was $24 that'd been for the night.
Yeah.
Like.
And he still hadn't thought to check this money.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that'd been the first thing I'd have done is dig through it and see if there's anything in that box. And I mean, this is '80s. That's something that wouldn't happen a lot, though. You know, this is. As he even asked later on, you know what that is? He said it's a transponder. I know what it is. You know, but I'm sure that's not anything that's out there a lot. GPS transponder. You know. Oh, I mean, it ain't even GPS. It's just some kind of
radio frequency,
radio signal between the two.
Yeah.
Because it's nothing.
You gotta be close enough to pick it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if it looked just a little bit harder one time,
I know, right?
He'd have found it.
And been rid of it.
Yep.
Well, this is another line in there is where he says, you got any tent poles? And they're like, no, we'd have to order it or whatever else. It's like,
well, he said, why would you want
just tent poles?
And he's like,
I guess give me the tent then.
Said,
which one? The one with the most poles?
Well, he said, what kind of tent is it? He goes, one with poles. He said, well, I didn't know the kind. We can order.
We can order, get you some poles.
Never mind, I want a tent.
Just give me a tent. Which one? One with most poles.
Yeah.
Free HBO. At Del Rio's.
Yeah. And lucky they have one of those beds you put the quarters in, it vibrates.
Oh.
Y'all ever seen
one? No, I haven't seen one of those.
Yeah. Well, when I'd build a road with Pop, I'd be like, reckon this going to have one of those beds with put the quarters in, it vibrates?
Yeah.
Vibrates.
So, here's a fun one. According to a January 2018 article in Business Insider, a group of psychiatrists studied 400 movies and identified 126 psychopathic characters.
Yeah.
They chose Javier Bardem's portrayal of Anton Chigurh as the most clinically accurate portrayal of a psychopath.
Yeah. Well, if you've listened, which I know you have, if you've listened to last podcast on the left, we cover tons of serial killers.
So this is a scene in the, sorry, this is a scene in the movie right here, but the guy, he walks in and he's bleeding through his shirt. Then the guy notices and he pays him just a little extra money to help him out.
Yeah.
Everything. Sorry.
No, that's fine. And they define, you know, a serial killer, would you call him a serial killer?
Yeah.
I would say yes, but a lot of the stuff they say is that usual serial killers are some form of sexual in nature and, you know, drives them to do those things. I don't think that's that way for him. Man. He may get some form of pleasure.
Well, they call it, there's product killers and there's process killers. Yeah. Process is like BTK. They got to go through a certain, I think he's more of a, well, I don't.
It's almost his own thing. It's almost like,
I wouldn't even really call him a serial killer.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't think he's a serial killer. I think he's just, I think a psychopath is a good term for it.
But he doesn't have any value.
He is killing to complete his purpose.
It's a mission.
His right.
So
he doesn't care at all to do it either. You know, whatever, if anybody gets in his way. It's just like Woody Harrelson later on when he tells Llewellyn, he's like, it don't matter if you gave the money back right now. You're dead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't understand,
he misses this bird. He didn't hit it. I thought he was going to kill it and he missed it.
Here's another fun one. In the novel, Sheriff Bell says of the dope dealers, here a while back in San Antonio, they shot and killed a federal judge. Cormac McCarthy set the story in 1980. In 1979, federal judge John Howland Wood was shot and killed in San Antonio by Texas freelance contract killer Charles Harrelson, the father of Woody Harrelson.
Wow. Woody Harrelson's dad was a contract killer?
According to this right here.
Dang. What I don't understand is how did the cartel people get him at the hotel? How they know he was there?
So the cartel folks are looking for him just like Chigurh is.
I know that, but how did they know that he was at the hotel?
Now that I don't know, unless they just knew he was in the town somewhere probably and they just went looking there ever.
Because, I mean, they looked at the truck, so they
had, it's the cartels that ended up getting the money.
Right. But they knew the truck he was driving. They knew where he lived. But they never showed up at his house. They looked at the truck, too, when they pulled up behind it.
Yeah.
On top of the hillside up there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Counting those poles. Felon. I told Lindsay as soon as he started hacksawing that barrel off, so, well, he's a felon now. If he wasn't.
That's been a long list.
No. I'm going to say it was under. See.
Well, he cut the buttstock off those, and that's just a pistol.
No. Mm-mm. That's not how the law reads. It had to have been manufactured with a pistol grip at that length for it to be a pistol. You can't. Like, I can't take my. I couldn't take a Mossberg Shockwave and put a stock on it.
Well, how do you know he didn't take a tape measure and measure that barrel to make sure it's in there?
I don't exactly. Think he's worried about that. He's got an MP5, fully auto MP5. I don't think he's worried about that shotgun. It's got two double bands. But he's almost one step ahead.
Yeah.
The whole time.
The tracker is what gets him.
That's what gets him. That and going back
in
the water.
But even then, he figures it out in time.
Just in time. He goes, it's not possible. He knew, leaned up in his bed, it's not possible. He couldn't sleep. He knew he was.
He should have known when they tracked him down at the hotel.
Yeah.
That there's something.
But I think he's not that far from it, right? Where's he at by this point? He's not that far from where it all happened, right? You know, when they find him, where they're in Texas, right?
Mm-hmm. West Texas, Southwest Texas.
Yeah. And he's working his way toward the border, right?
Mm-hmm. He's in Del Rio, Texas right now.
Right.
Where and that thing starts beeping.
Yeah.
When he get, he's like, oh, I am very close.
What about the, what are the odds of that? All the roads he could, which he's hunting, yeah. But he don't, at this point, really don't have anything to go off of, right?
Mm-mm.
He has the telephone bill.
We know Odessa.
He knows Odessa. And he knows, which this may be on the way to Odessa, primary road on the way to Odessa or something. But. Driving a Bronco.
Here it is.
No, that's a power wagon.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a Dodge. Right.
Ram Charger thing.
Yeah.
A power wagon.
Yeah.
All right. Directors Joel and Ethan Cohen used a photo of a brothel patron taken in 1979 as a model for Anton Chigurh's hairstyle. When he saw his haircut, Javier Bardem said, oh, no. Now I won't get laid for the next 2 months. The Coens responded by happily high-fiving each other. Bardem's response meant Chigurh would look as creepy as they had hoped.
He's creepy.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Bardem was the first Spanish actor to win Best Actor in Supporting Role.
Okay.
So the silver suppressor on the Remington Model 1187 semi-automatic shotgun with short barrel was specifically made for the scenes.
Yeah.
Such a device did not exist. That's so true. The Coens had one invented for a serial killer who ironically uses another unique weapon, other unique weaponry methods such as a captive bolt stunner.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, even now, if I go and buy a suppressor for a shotgun, it's two times that length. Mm-hmm. It's going to be this long. It's not going to be a little oil filter size suppressor for his. You know.
He may have made his own.
Sure. Okay.
He obviously made his other little rig.
Yeah.
So, I mean, don't count this guy out.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Maybe he don't trust somebody else making his weapons for him. Yeah. He does his own thing.
What was that about? Were you expecting somebody to jump out?
I guess. Or to be out like.
No.
I thought he left.
Yeah. Or he thought of something else.
That's Moss's room, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Now, why don't he have the tracker in his hand right now? Going like this with it. Oh, it's in the vent. It may not be that.
How disappointed would he be if he discovered it had been shoved up somebody's butt? Not this again!
One of those dogs. Just run off with it. And what was up with this? He grabs the wall. He's like,
hmm. He's just on the other side of the, you know, the building from, mm-hmm. from him.
And what was the purpose of taking his boots off?
So you would hear him walking. He's going next door to kill the Mexicans, cartel people.
He's still got the beeping continues, that said.
Okay.
So he's got the thing going.
He's just not waving it around like a wand.
Well, it's kind of confused because it's not in that room.
Yeah.
Because he put it in the air shaft of the other room.
Yeah.
It doesn't stay in that room, so he's...
You cut it off.
It's supposed to be in this room, but it's not.
Yeah.
Well, it ain't because dude gets it before.
Yeah. It's... There's a lot of tension in this movie.
Yeah. For multiple parts. I mean, we talked about the three main parts. You got, you know, Tommy Lee Jones and him.
His name is, Tom Ed.
Yeah. And
or Ed Tom, excuse me. Ed yeah. Tom.
And Anton and Llewellyn. But then you got the Mexican cartel that's tracking them, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're another pawn in this movie that, you know, they're not main characters or nothing, but they have a whole nother bit of tension that he's trying to escape.
He's trying to pull this thing out of there with a shot up shoulder.
Yeah.
But you see the numbers wrong. He went into 38.
Shot his arm.
That's the cartel, guys, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, yes. He shot his arm in two. Did you see that?
No. Rewind.
Hold on. What? Look at his forearm when he shoots it.
Oh, wow. Oh, he's flopping.
He shoots his arm into two pieces.
See, that's
but what you got to think.
See, he picked 38.
Yeah.
That was 138.
Yeah. And now this is a shotgun that's probably got, what, buckshot or something in it?
Yeah.
Now, he picked 36. He was in 37.
He's next door.
He's next door.
Okay.
Because she said you could have the room next to yours, and he skipped one over.
No, but he went on the backside. Because when he pushed it through that vent, he pushed it and then to the left. So if his room is here, he was in that one. So he went to this one that was catty corner on the back side.
Yeah. Man, just blows his arm clean off.
This is where the guy's in the shower, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's
so two, he heard, he
two
hears
more
it.
Guys in the bathroom.
He hears it going on.
Two more Spaniards in the bathroom.
It's a woman somewhere, too, isn't it?
Nope. Not at this part. That guy comes out with the Uzi. He plugs him in the chest.
He's like, okay, I got to hurry.
Yeah. Hunnily.
Because, like he thought, he would check the room next door.
Yeah. And he's already planned all that.
That's where the beeping is the strongest, is in that room. Because when he shoved it in the thing, it was between those two rooms.
Yeah.
Not the one he was in. He went in the one he was in. There wasn't nobody there.
Now, what do you feel is different between these murders and the other murders where he gives people choices?
Because these are bad guys.
Here's the thing. The people that, like he said with the quarter, it's fate, essentially. This is all brought them to this moment. And then this is how it's going to happen. You have a choice. Because they are someone caught in that moment, in the fate of what's happening. These people are impeding on his ability.
Does he just like the feeling of carpet on his feet?
Well,
I don't think he had blood on his socks.
What?
From the first guy?
Yeah, from when he walked in the bathroom.
See, but he's had his shoes off since the other room.
Yeah, so they wouldn't hear him walking.
Right.
His boots are in the other room.
Right.
But he had his socks on, and he just sat there and took his socks off.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch that. But there's his coins, his screwdriver. But people like this are impeding on his tool, the ability to complete his task, so he ends them brutally. But people like that man who may flip the quarter and call it, he just happens to be there. He doesn't feel like he has to kill them. He lets fate decide. He doesn't make that decision. He lets fate decide whether they live or die.
So
they're an innocent bystander.
Okay. All right.
He didn't kill the other lady.
No, I'm on another thing here. Because we just saw him open up the vent. The cartel guys were in that room. So they were waiting on him to come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He saw them waiting. That's why he didn't stop in the taxi. He saw that truck and knew it was them. Yes.
Okay.
He knew they were there.
We were talking or something, and I wouldn't pay attention.
Yeah, when he pulled back in, the taxi driver, he saw that truck, and he said, just keep going.
But
and then he could see that the curtains had been pulled back.
But now they're in the second room.
Yeah. No, they're in the first room. Because that's what I just now realized. Because see, he opens up the vent from that was the first room that he pushed the bag
right,
the box
and over.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, he opens it up and he sees where it's been slid.
Right.
So that was the first room that Llewellyn got.
Right.
Yeah. The cartel guys were he got. The room adjacent.
Right.
Yeah.
But my question is, how did the cartel guys know to get the other room? Are they beside
No, they're in the room that Llewellyn had. They were there waiting on him to come back. That's what we were just talking about.
The first room.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
And then he was on the other side, the backside, from where he pushed it through the vent.
Right.
And he
could hear all that
going on.
But he,
when, I just realized that they were in that room.
We're saying he. When Anton go, what room does he go to first? Because when he kills the Mexicans, it's in the second room, which was originally Llewellyn's first room. So what room does he go
I think he's in the. I think he just got the room close to it and okay. walks down there. Like he got a room away, and then he walks down to the room
yeah.
next to that room.
Right.
Takes the boots off.
Right.
Or no, he took the boots off. Took the boots off, I guess, in his room.
In his room. Mm-hmm. Because and he didn't do anything in his room but walk in.
Take his boots off.
Take his boots off. Fill the door.
Fill the door.
And molest the door. And then walk.
But you saw it. No. He was filled to see how thick the wall was because he shot through the wall in the next room.
That's why he was doing it. I asked that a while ago. But she just now had an epiphany.
Well, he shot through the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I'm glad that I'm watching this with y'all now because I would have never put any of this together.
He's blind?
He ain't blind.
He ain't blind.
What are you talking about? The floor's on fire.
Yeah. And the And then you get another good actor right out of nowhere.
Yep, Stephen Root.
Wasn't expecting Stephen
Root. And Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
You hadn't seen them either
right.
of them.
Right.
So you've got Tommy Lee Jones, Javier Bardem, Josh Brolin, who was kind of, he wasn't a no-name, but he had not done anything of really any weight.
He's more known for his dad right here than he was him.
This was before Thanos. This was before...
but it's after the Goonies.
Yeah, the Goonies. But this was before Thanos. It's before...
Because his dad
Deadpool,
is...
Deadpool, before...
What's his dad's name?
James.
James Brolin. You know, he was in Pensacola, Wings of Gold or something like that.
Amityville Horror, too.
It was
Amityville Horror. The Amityville Horror. Also... Not part two.
Yeah.
Part two.
Yeah. But once he realizes, like it takes Woody Harrelson finding him in that hotel or in that hospital room, it's like, took me all of what? 36 hours or whatever he says?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't take me long.
Now he's done the math. Laying in the bed in that next hotel.
Uh-huh.
It's not possible. It's, you know, doesn't add up.
There just ain't no way. That's when he starts.
He's tracking me somehow.
Because how would they have known exactly? I wonder if the Mexican cartel guys have a...
They do. They say it later. They have one too. That's how they... Stephen Root gave them one too. That's another reason that Javier
Stephen Root is the root
is
of
the
all
root
these problems.
Of all problems.
Yeah. So I didn't catch
that's the part. Real bad guy.
I didn't catch a part where he gave them.
So it doesn't show it, but later on
he doesn't give one to Woody Harrelson though.
No, not that I know of. Now it doesn't say that, but if he's gave it to them other two, why not him? You know, because
and they put it in the ones.
And right in the middle.
Well, they cut a hole out. In the ones for it to stay in.
Yeah.
So when it went together, you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And he sees the blinking light. Oh, yeah. It's actually a transponder is what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
He's got a pretty sweet mustache, too.
Oh, right, what he does.
You picked that
flavor
up at Radio
Saver.
You could pick that up at Radio Shack back in the day.
Yeah.
A dry spray on the mustache.
You didn't get that.
See, I did at Spencer's now.
Why didn't he just, at this point in time, why didn't he just smash it?
I thought out the window.
Yeah.
Well, he's fixing to leave it there anyway.
It ain't gonna
matter.
Or is he waiting on, is he thinking, all right,
He knows he's already there.
Yeah.
You know.
He can hear it ringing down there and nobody's answering.
Nobody's answering.
It was too late to do something now.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to leave it here after he leaves anyway.
Yeah.
But Earl, and it's hit the fan.
Yeah.
He tore down his Dixie Chicks.
So he leaves the thing here. How does the cartel track him to that last hotel?
They got a transponder.
But he ain't got it no more. When they kill him in the hotel, how do they find him there?
When
they kill who?
Him.
Him. Llewellyn. It's the cartel guys that kill him.
Yeah. Because he killed one of them before they could run away. I mean, but how did they track him to that last hotel?
It's probably
the mother-in-law.
Because she tells him we're going to El Paso, and then he asks her where, because I can take you there.
But there's so many hotels in El Paso, how do you find him at the one hotel? And how do you know what he looks like?
Oh, they know. Yeah, I'm sure they know.
How do they know what he looks like? This is 1980. I mean,
you can't just fake Google it.
You can't get him on Facebook.
Yeah.
And track him down.
Don't he get hit by the lock?
Yeah. He's right in the chest.
Yeah. And this is where you see, because he took his boots off for this too, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Sugar.
I don't remember. But this is
he had his boots on.
Okay.
That's how I heard him walking.
This is where both of their math like meets. Because he's turned the lights off where he can see his feet under the door. And Javier's on the other side going, he can see my feet under the door.
I'm thinking the lights out.
And he goes and turns the lights
out. He can hear him click his gun, too. Yep.
He's like.
This movie's so wild.
I know. There's all those little
here, I was thinking, we're just going to do an awesome movie. We're doing a friggin' awesome movie. Like that, yeah. Oh, and we turn the lights off.
Dang, I can't see his feet anymore in the door.
Well, at this point in time, you know he's got a gun.
Yeah.
Why would you shoot the lock off?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he's got the shotgun there.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah. Out the door he goes. And as 100% fake as that shotgun sound is through that suppressor, it sounds sick. Just like silent, and then whatever shot ripping away.
This is something that that podcast I talked about. Like he goes out the front
and back in,
and comes back in, and then goes out the back.
Yeah.
One step ahead. He's thinking one step ahead, because why would he come back into the build? That would be a normal thinking person. Somebody other than Sugar would probably be like, oh well, he jumped out the front. He's not going to come back into the building.
Right. My question is, how does Shiger get to the back? He shot out the back of the building there. Does he run into another room? Right. I mean, there's other patrons in this hotel, I'm sure.
They probably have a window in a hallway.
It could be.
That's how he got to there.
It could be.
In the book, it's all three of them. It's him versus Shiger versus the cartel.
Yeah.
The cartel is there in this part of the book.
Oh, they're there.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it goes to a big deal.
There's not another soul on this road. Oh, it's got to be 3 a.m. or something. There's not another soul on this road. Anything happens, it's dead quiet in the town. There's one vehicle. That one guy comes rolling up. He picked a bad road to drive down in the middle of the night.
Sure enough.
What town is he in right here? Is this Laredo? This
Del Rio.
Oh, Del Rio, that's right. No.
And Del Rio was the last place he was at, unless he hadn't left it.
Unless I thought this was a slide. Don't worry.
Boom. Right through the throat.
No, this is not Del Rio. Here.
And then the head. Some of those.
Ain't no way I'd still be sitting up. I'd have been already.
For it.
Del Rio's where the hotel room was. I think he's going down for the border.
That's right.
This is going to be a town like Laredo or somewhere right next to the border.
Is this just Peanut?
Yeah.
Can't have a Man-Child Enterprises podcast without having some.
I'm glad you brought these watermelons.
Oh, they're gone. Oh, you can have the sugary goodness at the bottom.
Just snort it.
Run through me like fire. And he thinks he's... Now, this is where his plans start falling to pieces. Llewellyn. Because he thinks he's going to trick him, and he's going to think that was him. You know, he shot the driver, he thought, but he's trying to make it look like that was him who he killed. Because you're saying, like you said, they probably don't know what he looks like. You know, he ain't seen him yet. He walked in, as soon as he started opening the door, he shot the door closed. But
he knew he wasn't driving, though.
Right. But, I mean, how would he know he killed that man? Yeah, maybe. The way I took it is he tried to make it look like
The guy in the
truck. The guy in the driver's seat was him. He got out, and he looks down, and he sees the bloody foot boot print, so he knows it wasn't him, and he ran off. And he even knows the direction that he ran. There's the boot print. On his new boots.
But he knows.
Yeah.
You can tell by the look on Llewellyn's face, he knows that he's...
Yep. He got clipped right there, too.
Yep. The leg.
Yep.
The left leg. Which is weird because he just jumped to the right. He spun and jumped to the right. I think he had shot his left leg, didn't he?
Yeah. When he jumped. Boom.
Yeah, but that's on
the opposite. Because he's diving behind the car.
But it's on the opposite, man. Maybe.
Flipped him on the hip.
Yeah.
Or at least it's the hip in the
yeah,
book.
It's, yeah.
In the movie, it's right here above his neck.
It's in his leg, yeah. You know?
He had to sew himself up.
That's what I'm saying.
That's in the book. They go through those detail, like, he goes through those processes. Pretty much like they do in the movie. I'd have just hung out till he come out like that, and I'd just dusted him.
Yeah. Cause he don't have a shotgun no more. Mm-mm. Llewellyn picked it up. He come around those vehicles with one pointed each way, and watch I don't get, cause he saw the gap. He knew he couldn't have went back left. But
I thought that was a machine gun.
No, he picked up his shotgun.
Oh.
Cause he doesn't use it no more to the movie, does he? Right. No, he has it later.
He kills old Stephen Root with it.
Yeah.
Shoots him in the face.
Go back. Am I wrong there?
I thought it looked like a little submachine gun.
Let's go back. But when did he? Well, he had that MP5 earlier, but.
See, it's a machine gun.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is it that MP5?
No, he has.
He just picked it up.
No, he has a suppressed machine gun too. Do you not see it? No, Anton has a suppressed machine gun too. He had it on the seat of his truck. That's what he shot at the crow with. It wasn't a shotgun.
That's right. That's right. That's it.
Yeah. I thought it was a pistol.
It's a submachine gun. A suppressed submachine gun.
So you can see it right there in his left hand. He's got his shotgun in his right, and that you see the big long
clip. It's a Uzi with a, or like a
car. No.
Well, yes, that's what it is. Yeah. It's got a bolt on it.
Yeah.
Because it was sitting on his seat, and he shot at the crow with it.
That's why it looked like a pistol, because
it's an automatic.
But he never kills anybody with that, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And Anton.
I don't
His shot is, I think,
but that's what he shot. That's what he shot at him with out the window.
Yeah.
Was that thing.
Oh, really?
So yeah. He didn't take the shotgun with him on that run. He kills Woody Harrelson with the shotgun too.
Mm-hmm.
So he's all he has.
That's all he has left is shotgun now, because that got taken from him.
But even before that, he doesn't kill anybody with that gun.
No, not that I know of.
I didn't see anything. There used to be an IMDb for guns? What was it? There is. It tells you every weapon used in every movie. What is it? I'll find it. I'll go ahead.
Oh.
Do you know, and I think there's ulterior motive IMDb? Behind
so, yeah, I think that's it.
I think there's ulterior motive behind this, but you know a lot of the movies and TV shows, it's a Ruger weapon that they let them use. And I think that's because Ruger is the one that stood up against them the hardest about gun control, and they try to make them look bad.
Yeah.
That's my conspiracy theory, if it's not.
Okay. I am FDB. Internet Movie Firearm Database. Let's see if I can find this. Handguns used in this movie. Colt government model. That's the 1911. Silver one. Chrome. There's a Colt Series 70 that the cop's carrying when he raises it high. That's a Smith & Wesson Model 13. It's a revolver he's got.
Yeah.
But Tommy Lee's character has the other 1911. Colt Series 70.
Give me that beer, too.
There's a Glock 19. When Anton Chigurh first goes to the trucks with the mind-riding B-word guy.
Yeah. He kills them two white dudes.
He executes both him and
his partner.
He
shoots him with a pistol.
The Glock 19.
Shoots one right in the
But the suppressed
chest,
thing
and
he
the
has
other guy
right,
in the head.
But what he had right there was not a Glock 19.
No, that was a different gun.
So he's got three suppressed guns.
Yeah. Well, the Glock, it wasn't suppressed in the movie.
Was it not? I thought so.
Was it?
Maybe it wasn't. He kills them at the site that Llewellyn found.
Submachine gun, Heckler & Co. SP-89. So that's what I'm calling it.
That's MP5,
but it's not MP5. It looks just like MP5. It's SP-89. That's the one earlier he finds at the thing. A Tech 9 is going to be that one.
It's a suppressed Tech 9.
Suppressed Tech 9. Tech 9 pistol when he is chasing Lawson Eagle Pass.
Well, that's like something I talk about, like this, the violence in this movie, like it's not really gory, but it's not like overly gory, like you're not seeing, blood spraying all over the place and body parts and everything, but it's enough to where you're like,
So what does this guard see on a nightly basis where he lets a guy walk by that's got blood all over him?
Let me tell you, he don't see nothing.
He don't see nothing.
He sees a drunk guy holding a beer.
He don't want to ask no questions.
He's Ray Charles. Right? He ain't
seeing the mariachi band.
Why wake him up? They're just standing right by him waking
up. Is it wrong with me that when I hear that mariachi band, I don't want cheese dip?
No, you were too. Born in it. Molded by it. Oh, man. So the shotgun he got was a Winchester 1897 Field, and he sawed it off.
I thought they looked like old Winchester shotguns.
And then this whole deal right here in this scene. He blows up a car.
To steal some
medical supplies.
He's got a credit diversion.
Yeah. Smoking mirrors, Roy.
Hey, those are blows up, everybody's gonna run out.
But how did he buy the shirt? He could have just went in and bought the medical supplies that he needed. Oh, no, there was stuff behind the counter that he needed.
Yeah, he takes drugs because he injects himself with something. Yeah. I'm assuming some kind of painkiller.
Some of that cocaine, that weed, that heroin. It's just the lengths that he goes to. Yeah. His old leg tore up.
You got to think about this, too. It's 1980. Stuff was not controlled back then like it is now.
Yeah.
This says that. So he gets that Winchester 1897. He originally buys a long barrel field shotgun and subsequently saws off the stock and saws down the gun barrel to roughly the length of a Riot version. Winchester no longer makes this model, and those still in circulation are considered collector's items. The actual firearm used in the film was a clone of the Winchester 1897 made by Norinoco, which is a cheap knockoff. In the DVD special features, the armorer mentions that the fact that in the book it says that Moss cocks the hammer on the shotgun clued him into the fact that it was a Winchester model 1897. Because it's a hammer-fired pump shotgun. Remember, he cocks it just a minute ago. The hammer back on it.
Boom.
That one guy walked right by that
that
gas door on that thing with it on fire, and he just didn't even see it.
It's probably the most action they've seen in that town ever.
Yeah.
You can get the plastic out.
Well, just like earlier, he thinks of all that because this is what he does.
He's a psycho.
Yeah. Well, when he shoots the guy in the shower, he pulls the shower curtain closed so he doesn't get blood on himself when he shoots him.
Cutting his pants off instead of having to take them take them off.
And he's just pouring blood.
Gets that. Big open. In all honesty, you'd probably bled out.
It's tender. It's so tender.
Now he's going to put that betadine on it.
Oh, it's going to light his world up.
What was it, iodine? rubbing. Oh, God. You know that burns.
Lidocaine.
Yeah, it's pain then, yeah.
No, this will get sew itself up.
Sew itself up.
Yeah, and then it gives itself a shot of the Demerol, liquid Demerol, whatever it is.
He's using the local anesthetic right now.
Okay.
Even boiling up of tweezers. Yikes.
Yes. That's that double off in his leg.
Naked as a jaybird. Just shows you how little is actually going on.
What?
The surround sound is still on.
Yeah.
And I heard it when he went.
Yeah.
He turned the TV off, and but you don't hear it.
Right.
You know, think nobody been talking.
Right.
Well, he gave himself a pretty good shot of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's such a quiet movie.
Goodbye, George. See you next Thursday.
See you next Thursday.
Bye, George. See you next Thursday. You probably start winding it down. This way, we'll go the whole. Won't record the whole length of the movie anyway.
That's 2 hours. And
yeah.
Stopped and started a little bit.
Yeah.
So he gets. He, Llewellyn, gets killed in the hotel room.
Mm hmm.
The Mexican cartel gets the money and makes off with it.
Yep.
That leaves one thing that Anton still got to do. He didn't get his money back. He's got to kill his wife.
Mm-hmm.
But they told him, you bring me the money, when he's in the hospital, bring the money, you'll spare her life. I'm still going to kill you.
You're going to die either way.
You're dead.
But I'll let her live. So he didn't get the money. So he
has that's a controversy of this movie. Is does she die?
Oh, because, no, she doesn't. She didn't make the choice.
Right.
She never chose a head or tail. It messed him up.
Right. That goes back to when
that short-circuited him.
Right. That goes back to he's giving them a chance at fate.
And she says, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pick it.
Does he kill her anyway out of anger and completing his
mission? It leaves it open to interpretation.
The only thing is he wipes his boots off.
Is he looks at his boots to see if there's blood on the bottom of his boots.
Yeah.
And then he wipes his boots off. That's the biggest tale there, is that maybe...
In the book, she's dead.
Yeah, it says it.
Pretty much. I mean, it leaves... She begs him for...
Woody's part is so good in this, man.
Yeah.
It's so good. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, he
made an appearance. He's such a small part, but he's so good. He doesn't do anything. He finds him. That's it. He finds him and he walks across the hotel.
Found the money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He did find the money. But again, he didn't get it.
Mm-mm. I think he had a chance to.
Well, let me ask
He it. Told him where the money was. Right. And he said, I can go get it in 20 minutes.
Right.
Then he killed it.
He never got a chance to.
Right.
But again, so he didn't do anything. He found the money.
Right.
And he went down and talks with him, and he goes across to the... And that's it. And he gets killed.
Back to the same hotel that dude done killed the main guy, the desk clerk in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go back to the hotel.
Is it
the same hotel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They talk about it in the movie. Tommy Lee Jones talks about it.
Okay.
Said he come back to the same hotel that he had just killed the desk clerk in the day before.
Okay.
Yeah, new desk clerk.
and killed Woody Harrelson there.
It's in the book. In the book, like they go around looking around, and in the firefight they went and found there was an old woman that got killed in crossfire.
So in the book it says that she dies.
I think it's a little bit less ambiguous. I don't think it says that she dies, but it's pretty much... And that's when it sets in, wait a minute, how do they know I sent her to Odessa?
Why would it go to Odessa?
Well, kill your wife.
You have been surpassed at this
point.
He was one step ahead, and then it started going downhill at the hotel.
Well, this is when you realize he's just a normal dude, and he is way out of his league.
Yeah. You don't even know what you walked in. You're not cut out for this. You don't, you know, you just walked into, happened to find those
women. And all he had to do
was not take that water back.
Not take that water back. Because he could have went anywhere in the world with that money and they're not going to find him.
Well,
because that tracker cannot find you unless it's right on top of it. It's got to be within, how far off the road was he when it beeped?
Right.
Probably, what, within, I don't know, a quarter of a mile?
You know? 400 yards.
Yeah, you got to be right there at it. So it's just it'd been pure luck if they'd have found him.
Right. Well, and that's what I was even saying. if he wouldn't have known from the call log that he
the truck's what got him. Leaving his truck at the scene is what got him.
Right, yeah. But we're going back to get the water, which is what led him to leave his truck when they got tire smashed. But had he not found the letter or the phone log about Odessa, they wouldn't have known that that's where his wife was.
Right.
There was nothing else in here that would have led them
right.
to who his, well, they probably could have figured out who he was married to and maybe found out where her, you know, her mother was. But they didn't have anything else saying that she maybe was going to go to Odessa.
That's because the mail run that morning that put the mail under the door.
Yep. Yep.
In the book, he talks to her a whole lot more than just this one sit down.
Yeah.
Speaks with her over the phone, meets with her, speaks with her over the phone, then sits down with her for this. I want to say, I think he says something about her, find their, them. Yeah, I think he says that they found her dead in one of his little monologues in the book. But let me let me look that up just to be for certain.
She ain't understanding. She ain't comprehending what I'm saying. They always tell you they can make you safe. That ain't what's going to happen.
Nope.
When does he figure out the two things tied together?
Right then.
Well, what two things tied together?
So what he's talking about right now is that guy trying to kill a steer. Before and didn't kill it.
They shot him with a bullet, and the bullet ricocheted off the head.
Okay, that's what the gun thing.
Then they went out using that air, the compressed air with a little rod.
He said it sucks back in. I wonder if right then he
figured it out.
He didn't act like it, but I wonder if that's when he figured it out. Now how's he gonna know? Oh, because he's just on the other side of the border. He ain't far.
Yeah, he knows he walked across.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, what'd he do with the money?
Yeah. Now, see, I thought he left the beer as a marker. But he took the beer, didn't he?
He took the beer with him when we went past the guard
like he was drunk. Right, yeah. See, I thought when he bought the beer from him and set it on that thing, he was going to use that as a marker for where to walk back to go over to know where that was that he threw.
She does kill her in the book. I thought it did.
Well, it didn't kill her in the movie, so she's not dead.
Yeah. And there he is right behind him.
And he knows it.
Yeah.
He knows he's dead, too.
I'll tell you what Ben didn't like about the movie.
What did Ben not like about the movie?
He got away. The bad guy won. The bad guy got away. The one that's tracking the whole movie, killed all these people. He did what he came there to do, and he left. He said, I couldn't stand that he...
It leaves you with an icky feeling.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, unless he went to a doctor somewhere, he still got a screwed up arm. Because he had a compound fracture at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Anton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In the car wreck.
Which was dumb luck.
Yeah, you got a bone.
A car hit him.
Sir, yeah. You got a bone sticking out of your arm. How much money for that shirt?
And it's kind of shocking when they does it, because you almost think that he's not going to do it for a moment. Kill Woody Harrelson anyway.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, no. No, I knew it was going to happen. Woody knows it's going to happen.
Yeah.
As soon as he walked up,
he does a good job in this scene because you can tell that he's scared.
But he's not showing it.
But he's not showing it.
Well, he is right there. Because he tells him there'd be more dignity. He doesn't beg, but he's offering him money. He's offering him money for his life.
Well, in the book, he tells it, he's like, just go ahead and do it. Do it. Come on. I know what you're going to do. Just do it. And he like just drags it out to make him suffer in a way.
Yeah. But he took that, he offers him money, he very much tells him there's no dignity in it, how you're doing this. Yep. You know, die like a man. That's what he's telling him.
That's kind of what he starts telling him, you know, you're crazy.
The nature of this conversation?
No, I mean the nature,
of you.
Looks like he's still high on painkillers.
Buddy, I'm not going to remember any of this tomorrow. He calls him by
his first
name. And as it goes, the phone rings, spooks you. That's how it progresses a little bit. Like, he's scared because he's thinking he's going. Once he realizes, I'm not going to be able to talk my way out of this, you see he comes more and more, you know.
Yep.
And so you weren't expecting him to shoot him right there. He's thinking he's going to let him answer the phone.
Yep.
And he just calmly answers the phone. Mm-hmm. So, No Country for Old Men. Like I said, when I first watched it, it left me with like this. Pretty sure I had a couple of bad dreams a few nights after watching it. Like, it was just unsettling.
Yeah.
And,
well, not really the good guy, but the main, Llewellyn dies.
Mm-hmm.
They don't catch him.
And then Tommy Lee Jones' character retires. Because he feels like, well, that's the whole thing. No Country for Old Men. I'm out of my element. Yeah. I'm done. I can't keep up anymore. I'm an old man. But this is, oh. Like, I don't know. It's just, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in this movie. And it is
very minute details.
And it's awesome. From the way it's shot to set and scenery, everything is great.
Yeah.
So, look us up on Facebook, Man Child Movie Night. r/MCMM. movies@manchildmovienight.com is the email. And manchildmovienight.com. Check out the Kissing Cousin podcast, Soundtrack of Life. It's the same three knuckleheads talking about music.
So, and Spencer when he shows up.
And Spencer.
He was invited tonight.
Yeah. So, hopefully got some guests coming on for that show. and I'm dead set, so you pick us a horror movie.
I can do that.
And we'll do that for the next one. 'Tis the season to be a spooky season. So, for Sean and Dusty, I'm Matt. We out.
Peace. Bye.